You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Selma, and I am recovering from compulsive overeating. I will always be recovering from compulsive overeating, especially the aspect of it that is about it. I always want more, and it's never enough. I came into the program 40. First meeting at the age of 16, and I officially joined, quote unquote, at 21. So I've been working on this for 44 years actively, and maybe almost 50 years from the beginning. And I still am a compulsive overeater, just like the big book says. This disease is progressive. It never gets better. It only gets worse. But meaning, if you expect that a long length of time is going to allow you to say, okay, I got it now and I can do this on my own. That's not me. That is not me. I intend to die in this program, and I am so grateful to be here. I have a few pictures I will try to show, just so, I mean, they're all young because I came in at 21. But this is me with, of course, the short dark hair, and my best friend at the time, who has since died of, unfortunately, not this disease, but a related addiction in this program. I mean, that this program was founded after. But she was always the tall, thin blonde that I was so envious of. And I was always on a diet. No matter what we did, I was always on a diet. This is her as well. I mean, myself as well. Trying to figure out, see how my face is. I can't believe my face there. This is me right when I finally came into the program at 80 pounds, something like that. But I was just, I felt like 580 pounds. And this is me, I think, as a 16-year-old, scared to death of horses, but my aunt boards or owns them, has a ranch in Oregon. So it's trying, but boy, I remember I bought those quarter. Why can't I get it? Well, you guys get the idea. I remember I bought those. I had gone to the store and bought two pairs of corduroy pants without trying them on because I knew what size I wore. I thought, and I got home and I couldn't get into them and I panicked and oh my God, that was a nightmare. So anyway, let me see. So I'm the oldest of four children. I grew up in the Bay Area. I grew up in Pacifica and South San Francisco over on the other side. I was I always share this because it shaped my life. My father was fresh off the boat from the Middle East when he met my mother, and he was came over to go to college and ended up staying because they got pregnant. So the funny thing is, when I think about my mother and my father at that time, my father barely spoke English and my mother could barely understand him. And my grandmother was upset with my mother for falling in love with a quote foreigner. and then kicked my mother out of the house when my mom got pregnant, and they got married right away. So that's kind of how my life started out. And I reflect on that sometimes, because I do believe that children pick up stress and anxiety and the mother's feelings in the womb, and whatever the mother's feeling gets transmitted to the child, and then it's not much different once the child comes out. So anyway, my parents proceeded to have four kids. I was the oldest. They didn't have any money, so I felt like we were always struggling. My father was a rageaholic, and I was expected to, be a good girl and help with all the housework and the kids and that sort of thing. And I felt I was one of those kids that loved school, and I hated coming home. School was a refuge from my home. Home life was very chaotic. My mother was very submissive to my father, and liked it that way. Her mother was overbearing, and so she married someone who was overbearing and controlling. I remember being unhappy as a child, but not until puberty did I start using food to cope. But I think what happened there is that I had made a decision internally that coming from the culture that my father came from, that I would not really be allowed to grow up like an American teen, go to parties and, kind of have fun on my own, because I was the oldest daughter of an immigrant family, or at least father who was very controlling. So I just went into, I think at puberty, I sunk into a deep depression. And the only way I could handle the stress of living in my home was to eat. So that started at age 13, always on a diet, always on a diet. And, back then, that's when kids walked to school. There was like five channels on the TV, no computers, no cell phones. So the people were a lot more active. Kids were a lot more active. And I don't think plates were supersized yet. So it was for me in high school and junior high, I was always battling my weight when I felt like none of the other girls were, none. And I felt humiliated in PE. And I was, I just hated dressing in the gym in front of them because they were all thin and slim and they seemed to have it all together and I didn't. And I mean, I was battling gaining weight all the time and trying not to eat and trying all the diets and in high school. Junior high, because I had a best friend who was 10 years older than me. She was someone I babysat for. And then we became good friends, and and a couple of friends of mine and a couple of friends of hers, and then we all did drugs together, and that's where I learned about speed, and then speed I could get it at school. So then this started this vicious cycle of taking speed to not eat so I could lose weight so I would be thin at school. And I would go as many days as I could without eating. And that was a nightmare. Oh my God, that was just horrible. I got weak and I got cold but I wanted anything to stop the obsession with the food. But I, so at the age of 16, a friend of mine's father took me to an OA meeting because he was 350 pounds. I didn't understand what was going on, but the seed was planted. And then at the age of 21, when I was no longer living at home, I went back to an OA meeting very suspiciously, very cautiously. By then I was bulimic. And my life really was revolved around eating and not eating. I was either binging or I was starving, and starving with the drugs. And so I would beg God for a solution, beg God, please, God, this can't be a human being's life. This can't be a real person's life. You know, and at the same time, scared to death to give up the food. So when I went, I remember thinking, OA or Weight Watchers, which one should I do? Because Weight Watchers, I had done, you know, that whole thing of like, join on a Monday, eat on a Tuesday, go to a different location, join again on Wednesday, not be able to stay on the week, find one more. So, okay, now I'm really going to stick to it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because you were allowed to have a little bit of what you liked as long as it was measured the way they measure it. And I just, you know, it wasn't until OA that I learned that you shouldn't, you're better off not putting it in your mouth if you're addicted to it, you know? So, but that was a novel concept. So at the age of 21, I dragged myself. Oh, I was working at Safeway, and a friend of mine there was also talking about weight, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out we both mentioned OA. And I said, oh, God, I got to go to a meeting. And she said, so do I. So we, I think we went together up in San Francisco. And that person is still in OA, and she made an outreach call to me the other day, and she's near and dear to my heart. And and so I wish I, you know, so I went to started going to meetings, and that is where it was like the answer to my prayers, because they said that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And when I listened to what other people were sharing, it sounded like they had this, a similar relationship with food as I did. Up until OA meetings, I was so full of shame about the way I ate. I never, you know, didn't know anybody else that couldn't stop the way I couldn't stop, and couldn't stop thinking about food if I was at an event where there was food, and ate until I was sick and I couldn't move, and yet I still wanted more. It's the strangest disease if you really think about it. I mean, I would be crying saying, God, please, I don't want to eat anymore, and have to go buy more to eat. It's like the faucet, broken faucet where the spigot, you can't turn it off. And that's my addiction. And that was my addiction. My active addiction. So, Denise, are you timing? I just want to know how much time I have left.
Yes, 2 minutes and 20 minutes on the 15-minute timer, Selma.
Okay, so then I'll have five. So I have 7 minutes.
You have 7 minutes left.
Okay. Right. So I got into OA, and that I always say it was 2 steps forward, 5 steps back, 6 steps forward, 4 steps back. But slowly, you know, it took me about 14 years to finally eat. I would say, and I can't even say take my last compulsive bite, but not have to binge. You know, I went in and out of how, because I was just like, oh, God, please don't tell me I have to do how. Please don't tell me I have to weigh and measure. But it was the only thing that ever worked for me. And it really gave me freedom from the obsession. And OA was where I learned that I don't have to eat moderately. I don't have to learn how to eat just a little or eat just one. In fact, I'm better off if I don't have any at all, if I don't put it in my body, because I have an allergy to sugar, refined flours, snacking, and, you know, certain behaviors. So following the How Food Plan put so much discipline in my life that it allowed me to start working on what we call the ism in my life, which was all the pain and the emotional baggage and the childhood garbage, the fear, the insecurity, the low self-esteem, all that stuff I was eating over. So I like to share that I had to get to a point in OA where, or in my life, where pain would hit, feelings would hit, and I didn't have to reach for food as a solution, because that is how I learned to cope with pain. And that was not easy. That took a lot of therapy. That took a lot of good friends in program. That took a lot of meetings, tons and tons and tons of meetings. There were so many meetings back in the 70s when I came in.
5 minutes, Selma.
5 minutes. I tried everything in a way. I tried no food plan, three moderate meals a day, nothing in between. I tried blue sheet, gray sheet. But how is this the answer to all my compulsive problems? But, you know, the big book talks about being a recovered alcoholic, but I will never be recovered. I'm always recovering from this disease. I still would love to be able to eat just one. I have not lost that. I don't have the compulsion anymore. I don't have the obsession, but I don't fool myself to think, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I had the ability to eat just one? Well, I don't, so don't even go there. Okay. That's what I do in my head. Don't even go there. What are you even saying that for, thinking that for, you know? Since it's been 30 years, 31 years of abstinence, I don't know if I could even do it now, enjoy it or any, it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying I have a healthy, very healthy respect for this disease. And I'm so, so grateful for my abstinence and my recovery. And every time I go through an emotional low point in my life, I remind myself of what my life was like when I would just dread waking up in the morning because I didn't want to face another day of binging and going to work bloated and worrying about, do I have anything that's going to fit? What am I going to wear? I binged all day yesterday. I binged all night and I'm gaining weight so fast, and always worried what, you know, how do I look? And they're going to see I'm gaining weight, and just dreading the morning coming during those times when I could not stop eating. So I am so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful you're all here. And I'm so grateful for the tools of this program. The 12 steps and the tools are my higher power in life. I really, that's a power greater than myself that has restored me to sanity. So that's it.